Thank you for downloading another edition of the NACHO podcast series. We are in Anaheim, California for the Public Health Preparedness Summit, and I am joined by Barbara Wargis, who is the Chief Health Officer at Coconino County Public Health Services District in Flagstaff, Arizona. Thank you so much for joining us today. So we're here to talk about PPHR, which is Project Public Health Ready, and your jurisdiction is PPHR recognized and re-recognized, and has also served as a FAB PHAB beta site and is now pursuing FAB accreditation. Why did you decide to participate in these voluntary programs?
Well, PPHR was the first one, of course, and it's been about 5 years now since we were initially recognized, and the application process and the gathering of information starts about a year and a half before that. So it's been a number of years now that we have been involved in both of these projects. With PPHR, back in the early years of the federal funding for public health emergency preparedness, there seemed to be no single direction, no structure for local health departments to fall into as they were trying to figure out what we needed to do locally to prepare for whatever public health emergency may befall us. And it seemed like the federal direction, and then certainly the direction we were getting from our state, was just dragging us all over the place from one topic to the next. First it was all about smallpox, then it was about anthrax, or vice versa, and then it was about doing this, and then it was about doing this. And it really started to feel like we were being asked to build a house without first building the foundation. And what I found when I became familiar with PPHR was that they were providing that structure. They were providing kind of that foundation upon which you could build all of your work for becoming as prepared as you can become. And my first experience was I was a reviewer. I was invited to be a reviewer for PPHR in its second pilot year, at which time, when I became familiar with the standards, I said, this is exactly what we're looking for. And so I applied to be a pilot, in the third year pilot. And we were selected, and then we spent the next year, year and a half, I think it was, getting ready for that. And fortunately, we were recognized. After that, I became the chairperson of the NACHO PPHR work group for the next 7 years or 6 years, and really that it became very important in my life in terms of something I was very engaged in and what I wanted to do. And then last year we took the opportunity to become re-recognized, and we were. So that was a good thing. And what in between times, what we did is we were able to keep up with what was changing in those standards, as the standards each year are modified to reflect what's new and what's newly required by the federal government as part of being prepared. So we were able to do that. Well, about 3 years ago then, once FAB was starting to become a reality, the Public Health Accreditation Board was starting to move from being a feasibility study to actually being established, I was really interested in what that was going to do with PPHR, which was at least a pseudo-accreditation process. I mean, it's not called accreditation, but it meets all the criteria of what an accreditation process is. And I heard that the newly created organization, Public Health Accreditation Board, was looking for individuals to serve as members on their various committees, and one of the committees was the Standards Development Committee. And due to the work I'd been doing on PPHR in terms of standards, I did apply and was selected to be on the Standards Development Committee. And that led me to apply to be a beta test site for the Public Health Accreditation Board. And I also was a beta site visitor and visited two other health departments. Well, it turned out to be only one, but I visited another health department to evaluate them against the FAB standards that the work group I was on had developed. I was also then asked to be on the Tribal Standards Development Work Group because FAB was trying to determine whether or not tribes were so different that they needed a different type of standard than state and local health departments. So I've been pretty intrigued and involved in all of this. And again, my reason for trying to get involved with FAB was that I saw it as an opportunity to really start to focus on what are those areas we needed to improve to become an excellent, outstanding local health department. That we could look at that in a lot of ways, but this was a way to really focus our efforts on some national standards.
And how has this participation in FAB impacted your agency's overall capacity and capability?
Well, I think the in both PPHR and in FAB, because we've been able to focus our attention with the limited resources we have on those things that we know will move us to another level, that's probably what's been the most valuable for us and how it really has changed what we do. We have kind of a more of a laser focus on what we're doing instead of trying to do 15 different things that we think might all improve us. Here we're focusing on perhaps a smaller number of items at a particular time, but that we know those will take us in the direction we want to go.
So would you say that it's increased your agency's visibility and status?
I would say it's temporarily increased our visibility. I think it's increased our visibility within the public health community across the country. I think locally, it increases our visibility for pieces of time. When we get recognized, or if we, and we will, become accredited, for periods of time, people will look at that and say, oh, that's good. I think what it's done in the long haul is, actually, we just recently did a survey in the county of citizens, residents, asking them for the entire county structure organization, what are those things they most value? What are those things they would like to see more resources go to? And probably, you know, first time, certainly in a long time, public health is up there with law enforcement at the top of the list. The top of the list is roads, law enforcement, and public health. That's pretty amazing to have that happen in a community, to be recognized as equally important to the roads and law enforcement. So I think that's where you start to see it. But I think I think it's the things that we are doing now, how we're doing them, the transparency with which we're doing them, the way we're impacting on individuals' lives, those are the things that bring recognition. Now, participating in PPHR and FAB are the things that drive us to go in those directions that end up being visible.
Now, for other agencies that are looking into the PPHR application process, how did preparing your PPHR application impact your agency's preparedness plans?
Well, again, I think what it did is it provided that structure and kind of that checklist of don't forget this, don't forget this, don't forget this. So the plans that we developed after we had started the PPHR process were so much more comprehensive, really addressed what needed to be addressed, and were just very different plans than what we had been doing in the first 2 years. Frankly, when we started PPHR, we kind of had to throw out everything we'd already done because it didn't meet what turned out to be the criteria. And as we were working on the criteria, they made so much sense to us. When somebody kind of puts something in front of you and you look at it and you say, you just want to slap your head and say, why didn't I think of this? It really made a difference in what we did. And so, as I said, when we first went through PPHR, it was a bit of a transition for our existing staff. We had some challenges getting them to understand that we were doing something very different, and that what we were doing, while it didn't totally ignore what the state, for example, was saying we needed to do, it put it in a much broader context, was much more comprehensive, because we chose to follow the PPHR path rather than strictly follow the state path. We got to the same place. We're better prepared than we ever were before. I never told staff this. I did tell the manager, however, that it didn't matter to me so much whether or not we actually got the recognition. The getting there was the most important thing, and that no matter whether we were ultimately recognized or not, I knew we would be better than we had been. And that is so apparently the case. And I think that experience really prepared us for FAB as well, because both processes, you have to look at what they're asking, the criteria, in PPHR, the standards and measures in FAB. You have to look at those. You need to understand them. You need to know what they're being, what's looking for. And then you have to look at what you have and see whether or not that meets those criteria. And if it doesn't, you need to change it. So I think if you've been through PPHR, the process you go through is virtually the same. Now, there's also some actual documents that will be virtually the same. But in addition to that, it's just that process of how you identify documents, how you review those documents to see if they meet the expectations and what you need to do to make sure that they do. That's the same process. And so if you've done PPHR, you're ready to do FAB.
So finally, I want to ask you about FEP capabilities. Like all local and state health departments, your jurisdiction will be addressing the FEP capabilities. And do you think that participation in PPHR and FAB will help with addressing the FEP capabilities?
Absolutely. Because again, what PPHR and now FAB, they help you identify where your focus is on what you need to improve. The capabilities, we have to, over a period of time, meet all of those capabilities. But we don't have to work on all of them at the same time or put the same level of resources into all of them, because you can look at your PPHR results. And the good news about both PPHR and FAB is they tell you what's really good, what's okay but not great, could use some improvement. They tell you what those things are that would need the improvement. So those are the things where you can focus most of your resources as you're looking at how you address those capabilities. So again, it's just another way to help you focus your efforts with our limited resources on those things that need the most work. And some of the capabilities we don't need a lot of work on now. Some of them we still could use some work. So it will help us discriminate how we use the resources we have over the next few years to meet those capabilities.
Barbara Wargis, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You've just heard from Barbara Wargis from Coconino County discussing PPHR recognition. Thank you for downloading this edition of the NACHO podcast series. For more podcasts, please visit our website at www.nacho.org.